Thank you. The Lord has blessed us with another beautiful fall morning to gather in His presence. May we encounter the Almighty today in worship this morning. God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Mark, for our beautiful prelude this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this day on this fall Sunday morning as came to church this morning. The leaves were raining down from the trees. There was a little crisp air this morning. And if you haven't already seen, it's going to be a lot colder tomorrow. So make sure you bundle up as you head out tomorrow. But it's good to gather in the Lord's house this day. I pray that the Almighty, who is the giver of all good things, will meet you in our worship hour this morning. If you're a first-time guest with us today, welcome. Thank you for joining us here at First Baptist for Worship. I ask that you'll fill out a visitor's card that's located in the pew in front of you, and you can just simply drop that off in the offering plate following the worship service today. For those that are watching online this morning on Facebook Live, welcome. Thank you for joining us online this morning. I do want to remind you, you can go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There, pull up the worship bulletin and use that as a resource for this hour of worship, but also for ministries coming up in the life of our church. If you're a first-time viewer online this morning, we're glad that you found us. I encourage you to send me an email this week, and let me follow up and share what First Baptist Church of Elon is all about. For those that are looking in the bulletin today, you'll notice we have a busy afternoon of ministries. A reminder to the Vision Leadership Team and our Constitution Bylaws Ad Hoc Committee that we have a meeting today at 2:30 upstairs in the Truth Seekers classroom. Immediately following that, at 4 o'clock, will be our church council meeting, and that's for all our ministry team leaders. Ministry team leader, if you cannot be there at that meeting, please have someone from your team represented at the meeting today at 4 p.m. And then immediately following that, we'll have our adult Bible study hidden. This is our sixth session, our final session in our study. That will be at 5 o'clock upstairs in the fellowship hall, or you can also watch online on Facebook Live. Looking ahead to this week, choir practice on Wednesday night of this week. And you'll also notice in your bulletin quite a few updates about our missions opportunities for the month of November and leading into December. First off, I want to say thank you for those who've already chosen the angels off the angel tree, the Salvation Army angel tree this morning. All the senior adult tags have gotten picked up, and 8 of the 10 children/teenage tags have been picked up. So if you're planning to adopt one of those families that are on the angel tree for Salvation Army, please make sure you stop by today, because there's only 2 tags left, and make sure you write your name on that clipboard that's right beside it. I do want to remind you that we are doing our church-wide collection for the angels, for the Forgotten Angels, and that'll be on Sunday, November 30th. There's more details in your bulletin and more details in your newsletter for the month of November. Also, reminder, we're collecting items for Elon Reading Day that's coming up, only a little bit over a month away. Our goal here at First Baptist is to put together 70 bags to have ready for college students during this stressful time of the year. So if you can, pick up some of those items within the grocery store over the next couple weeks and drop them off in the Communication Center or upstairs in the Fellowship Hall by December 2nd. And last but not least, if you haven't got any Brunswick stew, we still have frozen quarts upstairs in the fellowship hall. We had quite a few that were picked up this week. So if you want to stop by and get a frozen quart of Brunswick stew, again, it's $9 a quart, and all money raised goes to support missions here at First Baptist Elon. Now we gather here. Let us lift praise to the one who has called each one of you here to worship this morning. Let's worship our God Almighty today.
I have to tell you one quick thing. Y'all know I was standing over there flipping the pages for Mark, and he gets started and he says, "Oh no, I forgot my glasses." I was like, "You want me to slide them on your head for you?" He said, "No, no, no." If you ever get a chance, those on this side need to come over here and sit and watch that guy. Man, his hands are doing this and this, and his feet are doing this and this and this. It is just amazing to watch Mark play the organ. Let's stay, let's worship together. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty.
Praise to
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 145. Listen to these words of the psalmist. I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty. And I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you. They will tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all men may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made. The Lord upholds all those who fall down and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and loving toward all he has made. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who hear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever. And that's why we're here today. We are his creation, and we come to lift praise to him for his steadfast goodness, and for that we can give thanks this morning. Will you pray with me today? Great is our God and worthy of our praise. God's goodness knows no limit. God's faithfulness toward us is boundless. God, your majesty and glory surround us here. We've come together to celebrate your presence and to offer songs of praise and worship. We've come to rejoice in your mighty acts and to retell the story of your goodness throughout history and in our own lives. Move among us today as we worship together. May your Spirit guide and inspire our thoughts and our actions as we spend this time in your presence. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is Come Ye Thankful People Come. Let's stand and worship together.
Come, raise the song of be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm here today to share with you some good news. The Endowment Fund of First Baptist Church of Elon was established on September 2nd, 2021 with an initial investment of $30,500. Now, the sources of that investment included contributions from individuals and also from purchases of engraved pavers, which are right outside the sanctuary and the prayer garden. Now, today, here just a few short years later, the fund holds assets of $73,500. So what is an endowment? Well, just for fun, I looked it up in Black's Dictionary, and it said, the act of settling a fund or a permanent pecuniary provision for the maintenance of a public institution, charity, college, or things of that nature. And you might just say, what in the world does that mean? Well, as to our endowment, simply put, our endowment is a long-term planned investment for the future of this church that assures donors that not only will the fund's principal be protected, but that the growth and the earnings of the fund will be used for the enhancement of this church's ministries, and you'll see that on the slide behind me. It's also to aid in the creation of new ministries or to address special ministry needs and opportunities that might come our way. And why, you might ask, should we do this? Is there any authority for it to be found in the scriptures? Let me share with you two teachings of Jesus Christ as recounted in the book of Matthew. The first one, chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, we're all familiar with. This is the parable of the talents. And that word talents is interesting to me because it was referring to a form of money at that time, talents. But talents also include those gifts which we have as individuals to minister to each other, to shepherd. And one of those talents is the ability to plan for a future, to try to make sure that the church continues in its mission. In that parable, a master entrusted wealth to three of his servants before he went on a long journey. Two of the servants invested the money, and when the master returned, they delivered it to him, doubling the amount which they had been given, while the third servant buried his share out of fear of the master. Well, upon his return, the master praised the first two for their faithfulness, and he rewarded them. But he condemned the third for his laziness and described that servant as being wicked and slothful. He took away his share. He gave it to one of the servants the servant who had received five shares and doubled it to 10. And then he said, to those who have more, more will be given, while those who have nothing will lose even what they have. In other words, he's telling us to use our talents. In the parable of the talents, Jesus teaches us our God-given abilities and resources are there for us to use wisely. And we should not hoard them out of fear. There are three key takeaways from this parable. We should use our gifts. This parable tells us that as individuals, we have a responsibility to use the abundance of talents, skills, and resources that God has given to us. The second thing is we should invest our gifts wisely and not hoard them to ourselves. It's better to take action, to try to grow and enhance that which we have been given rather than to let it lie dormant out of fear. And the third takeaway is that faithfulness is rewarded. Those who are faithful with what they've been given will be given more. They will enter into the joy of the Master. And we as Christians need to be mindful to share our abundance. We need to feed the hungry, look after those who thirst, minister to the needy, the sick, and the stranger alike. And if you read the parable of the talents and you go down about two more verses, you will find where Jesus said, verily I say unto you, as you have done it to the least of these my people, you have done it to me. The second lesson that Jesus taught us is in chapter 28 of Matthew, verses 18 through 20. And we know it as the Great Commission. Jesus came, and he spoke to them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." That's his proclamation to us. It's to spread the gospel. That's our duty. And this responsibility is not a one-time thing. Rather, it is continuous and lasting. Now, just as we as individual people, the same things can be said about churches as institutions. How do we use our gifts? What actions can we take? How can we demonstrate our faithfulness? And how do we perpetuate the spreading of the Word of God? Well, one way is through the First Baptist Church of Elon Endowment. See, we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, much less next week, next month, or next year. But again, one of the talents that we've been given is the ability to reason, to think, and to try to plan ahead. And that's precisely why both the parable of the talents and the Great Commission is so relevant in these uncertain times we find ourselves living in. We're preparing for and we're investing not only for ourselves and for First Baptist Church of Elon as we exist today, but we're also preparing for the continuation of this church's ministry for both our own outreach as well as for the future generations of individuals who may come to Christ so that they too will be able to share their faith with others. Now, I want to introduce to you the five members of the First Baptist Church of Elon Endowment Committee, and if you would stand, Bill Mann, John Farnham, Lisa Thompson, Mike Harrington, and myself. Now, to be clear, contributions to the endowment fund are not in place of or a substitute for the general giving of tithes and offerings, nor would any member of this committee suggest to you otherwise. Thank you. Y'all may be seated. Rather, there are ways that you may not readily think about in which you might make a gift that not only benefits the endowment fund, but benefits you directly. For example, you might have an IRA, an individual retirement account, or you might have a 401k plan, and you've reached an age where you must take a required minimum distribution, and you have to pay income taxes on that. But by making a direct distribution to the church's endowment fund, you directly benefit because it reduces your taxable income. And it reduces the income taxes you have to pay to Uncle Sam and to the state. Perhaps you have a fully funded life insurance policy that you no longer need. Or you may have even forgotten about it. I had one of those. Or for which there is no longer a living beneficiary. That's something that can go to help build the endowment. Donors can make gifts of securities, cash, stocks, bonds, real property, or other kinds of property, and they may name the endowment as the beneficiary of their estate plan should they choose to do so. And then you might desire to memorialize or honor someone by simply purchasing an engraved paper to go out here in the prayer garden. All of that goes to the endowment fund. Please feel free to explore with any member of the Endowment Fund Committee ways in which you might help support that fund and grow our endowment. But I want to leave you with one last thought. Your suggestions are welcome. The way our endowment fund is set up is that once it has reached a set amount of principal, the Endowment Committee may make partial distribution of earnings. And we welcome and seek from you, members of our congregation, suggestions and requests for any such distributions. All you have to do is ask Janice Summers, our church administrative assistant, for a request to the First Baptist Church of Elon Endowment Funds. You will see, it's hard to read, but that's the form up there on the screen. It's a very simple form, and it allows you as a member of this congregation to identify a need to be filled or to make a suggestion or a request to for our church's vision leadership term, team as to how the endowment fund can help address the ministry missions of the church. Now, out on one of the tables outside the sanctuary, there's five or six copies of this form. It doesn't have the letterhead on it, but it is a copy of this form. Feel free to pick it up as you leave the church. So I'll leave you with this, folks. Whether it be to explore contributing to the church's endowment or whether it be to identify needs where they might be best used, we do ask for and welcome your suggestions. Thank you.
Thank you, Rob, and thank you to our endowment team members and for your diligence and your work. And again, do not hesitate to ask questions to these members. They can go in further detail about what the endowment fund is all about, and we look forward to having this fund and using this fund for the future here at First Baptist Church of Elon. Now, if you would, join me in prayer this morning for our offertory prayer. God of glory, we bring our gifts to you today with hearts full of thanksgiving, aware of all the spiritual blessings that we have in you. Fill us with wisdom and understanding of your love, and may these offerings be used today to further your kingdom here on earth. Strengthen us to walk in the power of your calling for your glory, and all praise given to you this day. Amen.
Saints and angels, voices.
Thank you, worship choir, for our special music today. If you would you once again join me in prayer this morning before we encounter God's word? Gracious God, as we gather in this season of Thanksgiving, our hearts overflow with gratitude for the blessings seen and unseen, for your faithfulness through every trial. We give thanks. May our worship today reflect the depth of our thankfulness. Lord, help us recognize your presence in those around us. Teach us to see your hand in our neighbors, our friends, and even strangers. Let gratitude shape our relationships and deepen our love as we worship you together. Holy One, as the days grow shorter and the year draws near its close, guide us in your wisdom. Help us live with purpose, serve with love, and trust your plan, even when it is unclear. Lord, in a world of change and uncertainty, your peace surpasses all understanding. Calm our anxious hearts and remind us of your unchanging presence. Let our worship be a refuge and source of strength this day. May we answer your call to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to assist the poor, because that is what our Savior did when he walked this earth. May we be voices of justice, mercy, and reason, your voice to a nation and world that needs to hear your voice. Shine through us so we can bring others to the light of the world. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship here today on this second Sunday in November. Today, I will be starting a 3-week sermon series that's titled An Occasion for Thanksgiving. During this, what I like to say is the all-forgotten season of thanks, let us learn over the next couple weeks as Christians how to carry out and live a lifestyle of thanksgiving rather than just focusing on one day towards the end of this month and we give our thanks and we wait for the next year. This morning, in our first sermon in this series, we examine in Scripture when Jesus said, "Thank you." Two men were walking through a field one day when they spotted an enraged bull heading their way. They darted toward the nearest fence, but it was too far off. The storming bull followed in hot pursuit, and it was soon apparent that they would not make it to the fence. Terrified, the one named Sam shouted to the other, "Put up a prayer, John. We are in for it." John answered quickly, "I can't. I've never made a public prayer in my life." "Do it now," implored his companion. "The bull is catching us." "All right," panted John. "I will say the only prayer that I know, the one my father used to repeat at the table. Oh, Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful." Now, I know I've used that story before, but when it's a good story, you can use it again and again, especially during this season of Thanksgiving. Two of the most gracious words in our language, or in any language, are thank you. Parents teach their children, as soon as they learn to talk, these words, thank you, when they are helped or given something. As children of God, we ought constantly to thank our Heavenly Father for all His blessings. The psalmist declared in Psalm 100, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name." Our thank you list to God could be endless. It could keep going on and on and on for the blessings that He has placed in our lives. And I want to encourage each of you, not just during this month of November, but finding times throughout the year to take a pause, find a quiet moment, and truly count the blessings that God has placed in your life. This is not just a November thing. This is an entire year, a lifestyle thing. James said, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Our greatest gift that has been given to us is eternal life through our God, through God's Son, Jesus the Christ. The greatest gift that we've ever received. And as Paul said in 2 Corinthians, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So if you take that moment of pause and you're struggling to come up with the things, the blessings that God has blessed you in your life with, start there. Start there. And everything flows from it. Jesus was the creator of the universe and the only begotten Son of God, but he was also a thankful person. When he walked this earth, he expressed words of thanksgiving to the Heavenly Father. So let's look this morning at when Jesus said, thank you. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 15, verses 35 through 37 this morning. And what we're going to see is that the first time, or one of the main times that Jesus gave thanks in Scripture is giving thanks for food. reading Matthew 15, 35 through 37a this morning. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and they in turn to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Our Lord knew that the grain for the bread came from fertile soil, the renewing rain and invigorating sunshine, which brings about God's harvest. The master knew that the fish came from the water that God had given them through rain or bubbling up from the earth, but it had been a gift from God. And the disciples stated their resources were inadequate. They looked around and said, we don't have enough to feed the 4,000. But Jesus intended to use the limited resources that were available in that moment, 7 loaves and a few small fish, to feed a multitude. So, filled with an attitude of gratitude, Jesus became the source behind the substance. And then when he gave thanks, the hand of God was revealed. So Jesus blesses the food. And after he blessed the food they had received, he gave it to the disciples and they gave it to the crowd. Now, we're going to pause here just for one quick second. We're not told exactly how this happened. And it's gone through my mind a lot over the last couple weeks. How exactly did that miracle happen? Did they have 7 loaves and fish and he blessed it and all of a sudden there were thousands? Did he have 7 loaves and a fish and as he handed it to the disciples, it had power that just multiplied? Or maybe after he gave thanks and he handed the fish and the loaves to the disciples, as they were tearing the bread and as they were passing out the fish, that's when it's multiplied. Think about it for a minute. There's a lot of possibilities there. We don't know the answer, but what we do know is this, is that God, that Jesus Christ gave thanks, and God provided it. The Father provided the food through whatever channels were open to him to do so. We should partner with him. Just as Rob said just a few minutes ago, we should partner with him as we carry this mission to the world. And anyone, any agency, any program that seeks to provide food and assistance to the hungry should be supported. And I'm going to repeat that again. Anyone, any agency, any program that seeks to provide food and assistance to the hungry should be supported. And hang on this one too. Anyone, no matter who you are and which side of the aisle that you stand on, that prevents the basic human need to be met, which is hunger, which is food, should be called out and they should be held accountable. And I'll repeat that again if you didn't get it the first time. A godly farmer was asked to dine with a well-known gentleman. While there, the farmer asked a blessing at the table as he was accustomed to do during when he was eating at home. His host said jeeringly, That's old-fashioned. It's not customary nowadays for well-educated people to pray before they eat. The farmer responded that with him, it was customary, but that some on his farm never prayed over their food either. "Ah, then," said the gentleman, "ah, then, they are sensible and enlightened folks. Who are they?" The farmer answered, "The pigs." We see Jesus gave thanks for the food before God. He gave thanks to God before they ate. We should do the same. Jesus also said, "Thank you for answered prayers as well." Turning to John chapter 11, verses 38 through 42 this morning, the words will be displayed on the screen behind me as well. Listen to these words. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came up to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, "the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." Jesus stood with tear-stained face and with other tear-stained faces before the tomb of one of his close friends, Lazarus. He commanded the people to roll away the stone. And with the gravestone taken away, the tension mounted in the crowd. What was he going to do? What would Jesus do now? Jesus lifted his eyes to overlook all the difficulties that were around him so that he might fix his eyes upon divine omnipotence instead of an unbelieving man. Jesus directed his love and faith heavenward to his Father from whom he derived his power, and he said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." Jesus' thanksgiving expressed the unshaken assurance that God heard and answered Jesus' prayers. But I'm going to put a pause just for a second. Listen to the second part of what Jesus says. "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." He knew that he heard him. "But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, everyone that's gathered around." He said, "I'm speaking to you and saying thank you so everybody else would hear it. So everybody else would know what greatness is about to happen. So that everybody else would know we're called to do the exact same thing. We're called to say thank you." Prayer is a privilege, but answered prayer is a blessing. In Jeremiah 33, God said, "Call on me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." Stop for a moment and think about all the prayers that the Father has answered in your life. When you're finding those moments of quiet to give thanks to God, think about all the prayers that God has answered in your life up to now. Thank the Father for the prayers that have been answered. For those that God pushed the pause button on and said, wait, it's in my time. And also thank him for the future answered prayers that God will certainly do. And we can understand and we can testify today that God has certainly rolled away stones in our lives, just like he did for Lazarus. While on a short-term mission trip, Pastor Jack Hinton was leading worship at a leper colony on the island of Tobago. A woman who had been facing away from the pulpit for the worship time then slowly turned towards him. Hinton recalled, "It was the most disturbing face I have ever seen. The woman's nose and ears were entirely gone. Her cheeks were sunken in, and her mouth barely could open. She lifted a fingerless hand in the air and asked, 'Can we sing Count Your Many Blessings?'" overcome with emotion, Hinton left the worship area, walked off. He was followed by one of the team members, the mission team members who was with them, and they said to him, "I guess you'll never be able to sing that song again." And Hinton replied, "Yes, I will, but I will never sing it in the same way." Jesus said, "Thank you for answered prayers." We should too. That brings us to the third passage in Scripture where Jesus says, "Thank you." And what Jesus says, "Thank you," in Luke 22 is he says, "Thank you for Calvary's cross." Reading chapter 22, verses 14 through 20 this morning, the words will be on the screen behind me as well. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." When Jesus instituted the Lord's table at the Last Supper, Jesus gave thanks twice. He gave thanks before breaking the bread, and he gave thanks before drinking or providing the cup. The bread and the wine symbolized his crucified body and his shed blood. Our Savior thanked the Heavenly Father, his Heavenly Father, for his saving death. I love the fact that Jesus chose two of the most common items that you would find on tables back then and even today. Bread and wine have been the most available elements to nourish humankind in virtually every culture and in every society on every continent throughout history. So think about it. What is bread? Bread is grain that has been ground up and baked in the oven. Jesus, the bread of life, was ground up by the religious system and the sin of humanity. He was baked in the oven of adversity and absorbed the very fire of hell for you and for me. But what is wine? Grapes that have been crushed. Jesus was crushed by the sin of the world, by your sin and my sin. When the soldier thrust the spear into Jesus' side on the cross, the blood and water that flowed indicated that when Jesus died on the cross, physiologically, he died from a burst or a broken heart. Jesus gave thanks at this meal. And such love desires unity, as seen in the substances Jesus chose to commemorate his death with. After being ground, individual grains of wheat are brought together into one single loaf, and they are crushed. Individual grapes lose their identity, and they mix together and become one. When we observe communion, we not only express our oneness with God, but our oneness with each other as we eat of the same loaf and drink of the same vine and the same cup. Communion actually has a threefold aspect to it. First, it looks back as it remembers the cross. Second, it looks ahead as it waits for the day that we will eat with the Lord in his heavenly kingdom. Third, it looks around in love as we see Christians all around the globe and down the tunnel of history eating of the same loaf and drinking from the same cup. Now, we may never agree on all the things, the work of the Spirit or all the points of doctrine, but we find unity. We find unity in Calvary's cross. We find unity at the Lord's table at the foot of that cross. When Jesus instituted the Lord's table, Jesus gave thanks twice. He gave thanks before breaking the bread, and then he gave thanks before drinking the cup. The bread and wine symbolized his crucified body and his shed blood. Our Savior thanked his Father for his saving death. In closing today, we have lessons that we can learn from Jesus. Jesus said thank you. He said thank you for food, for answered prayers, for the cross, and our best example for how we're called to model our lives is to look at our Savior. He was grateful. Therefore, we too must be a people of gratitude. We can start with these three, but the thank you should not end at those three. They should resound from our voices, and they should resound from our hearts to our Heavenly Father daily, multiple times each day. Not just in this month of November, but all year long. So I ask you the question this morning, if Jesus said thank you, are you saying thank you today? Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the model of your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and lived a life of love and model what it means to live out a servant's life of thankfulness. Thank you for these three examples in Scripture, but so many other times that thank you or thankfulness has been echoed throughout your word. Father, may we live out of that thankfulness today as we seek to change the world, as we seek to build the kingdom that you've called us to build on this earth. And sometimes we're just not sure what to say, but maybe the best place to start is with two simple words. Thank you. Amen. So we come to our time of closing this morning, our closing hymn. I'll be down front if you want to make a decision today. Maybe for the first time, you're ready to embrace your Lord and Savior and say thank you for the sacrifice that he made for you. If that's the decision you want to make, I'll be right down front this morning. Or maybe you're seeking just to serve in a body of Christ, to join a church that seeks to live out of the thankfulness. You've heard multiple ways of this through our worship, through reading His Word, through prayer, through our endowment fund. There's so many ways that we at First Baptist seek to give thanks. Maybe this body of believers is at home for you. If you're ready to join us, I'll share what First Baptist Elana is all about at the end of the altar. Or maybe right now you're just struggling. Maybe you're struggling to find what you can say thank you for. Come to the altar. Lay it at his feet. Lay it at Calvary's cross, and he will embrace you. I'll pray with you. One of our deacons will pray with you. Whatever decision you need to make today, don't put it off. Begin by saying thank you and walk the aisle. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn. As you leave this place today, go out into a world that needs to see thankfulness. Share it out of the love of Christ, just as he did. Go in peace.